I want you to open your Bibles to the book of Romans, chapter 5. I'm going to bring a message this morning and a message tonight on the same subject with the same title. I'm speaking this morning on justified by faith. The Lord willing, I'll continue that message tonight, justified by faith. And it'll be on a cassette tape, this morning's message on one side and the evening message on the other, justified by faith. And I'm thinking seriously, I'll be recording the television program tomorrow night up at Channel 13. I'm thinking very seriously. I think these messages are so important that I'm thinking very seriously of bringing them both in the next two Sundays on television. Justified by faith. Now, in Romans 5, let's look at it a moment with this question in mind. If someone were to ask you, quite frankly, you personally, how did we get in the mess we're in? How did we get in this state of spiritual death, separated from God? How did we get in this state of darkness and judgment and condemnation? When to do evil is so much easier than to do good. Alienated from God. That's what the scripture says. Without God, without help, without hope, and without Christ in this world. Isn't that what? That's how we're described in Ephesians. Without hope, without help, without Christ, and without God in this world. How did we get in this condition? Well, according to the scriptures, and what other foundation do we have? What other source do we have? Where do we turn to find out how we got in this spiritual state of condemnation? According to the scriptures, it was through representation. It was through Adam. We were created in Adam. God said, let us make man. Not let us make some men, but let us make man. He called him Adam, red earth, out of the dust. God made a man. That's the only man God ever made. Now, he prepared a body. When Christ came into this world, he said to the Father, a body thou hast prepared me. But that body was not taken from the dirt. It was formed in the womb of a virgin. But he made one man. And we were created all in that one man. We didn't come originally out of the dust. We came out of Adam's loins. And we were created in him, according to the scriptures. We stood in him and we fell in Adam. And it was because of his transgression. And this is the only way you can account for it. It's because of his transgression that we were made sinners. Now look at Romans 5, verse 12. And you just underscore these words if you'd like to. Romans 5, verse 12. Wherefore, as by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all had sinned. For in whom all sinned. See, that's very clear. All right, look at verse 15. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. Underscore this. If through the offense of one, many be dead. I'm coming to the other part in a moment, but that's the part I want you to see. Underscore. Through the offense, sin. Through the rebellion of one, many be dead. Dead in trespasses and sin. Now, verse 17. underscore this, the first part of verse 17. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, by Adam, that's how death reigns. Everybody dies. Everything dies. The trees die. The flowers die. The animals die. You die. I die. Everything dies. Death's upon this earth. Death reigns. There's one thing certain. They say death and taxes. Is that what they say? Two things. Death is certain. That's so. It reigns. Because of one man's sin. All right, look at verse 18. Therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation. Isn't that what it says? The people argue original sin, all these things. I'm simply saying what God said in His Word. That's all in the world I'm saying. I'm reading it to you. Suppose we switch places this morning. Suppose I sit out there and you come up here. And I ask you, how'd we get in the mess we're in? Could you improve on this? That's all I'm doing is reading. This is in verse 18, by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation. Look at verse 19. For as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. That's how we were made sinners. It goes all the way back to our roots. Sin is not just what we do, it's why we do it. It's the motivation. Sin is a principle. Sin is a nature. And this is the reason most preachers do not preach against sin. They preach against the results of sin. They preach against the fruit of sin. They try to, like our Lord said to the Pharisees, you make clean the outside of the cup, but within, that's where the problem is. That's where it all is, the root. A tree can only produce the kind of fruit it comes from the root. It's an apple tree. It'll have apples on it. And our root, the root of the matter, that's the problem. A man's not a thief because he steals. He walks into a store and he sees a gold watch laying there on the counter. And he reaches and takes it, slips it in his pocket. You say, he became a thief. No. He was a thief and he came in there. Or he wouldn't have taken it. What he did is the result of what he is. You see, that's the problem. If we could ever learn that a man can clean up his life. He can. There's no problem there. He can stop drinking. He can stop committing adultery. He can stop gambling. He can stop stealing. He can stop doing all these things. Go to church. No problem there. What's he going to do about it in here? There's the problem. That's what God does not look on, the outward countenance. God looks on the heart. And that's the reason our Lord said, you've heard it said by them of old time, thou shalt not kill. I say unto you, to hate your brothers, to be guilty already of murder. So, well, I might as well go ahead and shoot him then. Well, no, the consequences will be rougher. But God looks on the heart. That's right. All right, that's how we got in this mess. All right, according to the same scriptures, what's the way out of the mess that we're in? According to the same scriptures now, how do we get out of this mess? How do we become righteous? How do we become justified? How do we become accepted with God? Let's read the same verses. Turn back to Romans 5:15. Romans 5:15. Now, it's not exactly a lie. It's a lie. It's by representation. In other words, we got in this mess by representation, by Adam and by his fall. We get out of this mess by Christ and by his obedience, by representation. You see, Paul said in 1 Corinthians, by man came death, by man came the resurrection. By man came sin, by man comes righteousness. Representation. God made another man. And that man was made in our likeness. He said the first man was made in his likeness and fell. That second man is the Lord from heaven made in our likeness. And he obeyed. And what we lost in the first Adam, we was restored and regained in the second Adam. But here's the thing, it's a lot, but this is so much more. It's so much more beautiful, so much more gracious, so much more wonderful. That's the reason he keeps using the word much more. Verse 15. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. The free gift is not to be compared to the offense in all things, because it's so much greater. For if through the offense of one, Adam, we be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift of grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. Did I read that correctly? And that's all preaching is. It's delivering God's message. It's reading the word and preaching it. And what he's saying is it's so similar. God made one man, Adam. All men were in his loins. All whom he represented. He was the federal head of a whole race. Every tribe, kindred, nation, tongue. He failed, they failed. And when he conceived a son or a daughter, when that person came from him, it was just like him. Just like him, sinful. God sent a second man, the Lord from heaven, the Lord Jesus Christ, made in our likeness. Perfect God and perfect man without sin. He represented all who are in him. We're going to see that in a minute. All who are in his loins, all who were given to him in an everlasting covenant of grace. And read that verse 15 again. But not as the offense, so is the free gift. For if through the offense, the sin of one, many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. Look at verse 17. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one Jesus Christ. Isn't that it? Much more. Much more. Look at verse 18. For as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation. All men, even so, by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men under justification of life. All that's so clear to me. And yet, for many years in my early life, I've brought up in the church, as many of you were, and I went to school where they trained preachers. And these verses were never mentioned. These questions were never dealt with. I've never answered. I never saw. The last 24 years old. And heard a preacher over here at the Pollard Baptist Church in 1950 called Ralph Barnard, who came along and started asking questions. How did we get in the mess we're in? Well, how do we get out? And started reading the Bible. It's amazing what you find out if you read the Bible and quit, you know, following old, I started to say old wives, but old husbands and wives' fables. They're both just as bad. I don't know why they're called old wives, because the husband's just as bad. What I think, not what God said. Look at verse 19. For as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners, the many, all who were in him. Even so, by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Just that plain. Just that's the gospel. Hold that scripture there and turn over to the book of Acts, chapter 13. This is what the apostle preached, and this is what I'm trying to preach in Acts 13, verse 38. Acts 13, 38. Be it known unto you, men and brethren, be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. And by him all that believe are justified from all things from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. Now let's go back to our text in Romans 5. Now here's the conclusion that I draw from these scriptures. First of all, this state of guilt and condemnation and death is universal. It's absolutely universal. By one man, sin entered this world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all of Adam's race. You won't, there's none righteous, none that doeth good, none that seeketh after God. They've all gone out of the way. They've altogether become unprofitable. There's none that doeth good, from the sole of the feet to the top of the head. This is true of all people, as sinners, by birth, by nature, by choice. A young man attended services here one time, and he went away, he said, surprised. And someone asked him about what he said, well, what surprised me is the preacher called himself a sinner. He said, I never heard a preacher say he was a sinner. Well, what else is he? That's what Scripture says. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Isn't he an all? All we like sheep have gone astray. Are you not an all? Death passed upon all men. Are you not an all? There's no difference. He says that two or three times. There is no difference. All have sinned. All have sinned. So this state of guilt and death and condemnation is universal. Secondly, listen to me now. It's unchangeable. Unchangeable. By human effort. It's unchangeable. It's not only universal, but it's unchangeable. As the tree falls, what does it say? That's where she lies. Now, a tree can be lifted, but it can't lift itself. And salvation's possible, but not with you and me. The disciples asked the Lord one day, who can be saved? He said, with men it's impossible. Jeremiah said, can the Ethiopian change his skin? Here's a black Ethiopian. Can he change his skin? Well, he can buy him a coat of white paint and paint himself, but he hasn't changed his skin because it comes from within. Can the leper change his spots? One little boy in a class out in Texas said, yeah, if he don't like this spot, he can move over to another spot. That's not the spot I'm talking about. You could paint the leper, but he'd still be way the paint wall within. Neither can you do good that are born to do evil. That's Scripture. Why should I teach anything else? Well, the reason some folks do is to get along with people, but I want to get along with God. I hope I can get along with you, but I'd rather get along with you. Somebody's going to be mad at me. I'd rather it be you. It's unchangeable. Cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things that are written in the law to do it. So what I receive from Adam, remember these two things, is universal and unchangeable. By the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified. That's from Adam. Now what I receive from this second Adam is also universal and unchangeable. In other words, everybody in Adam died in an unchanging state of death. Everybody in Christ is restored in an unchanging grace. You see that? All who are in Adam by nature are condemned, and it's impossible for them to change that state by works or deeds, religion or self-determination. All who are in Christ by the grace of God through faith, represented by Christ, are forgiven, justified, made righteous universally. Not a one of them that has not been saved. That's what he said. Or will be. Or will be. He said, turn to John 6. Let me show you that. John chapter 6. John the 6th chapter 37. Listen to this. John 6, 37. Our Lord said, all that the Father giveth me will come to me. Universally. All. A-L-L. And him that cometh to me, I in no wise cast out. I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will, which has sent me, that of all which he hath given me, all which he, I lose nothing, but raise it up again at the last day. All. Universally. Everybody whom the Father gave to the Son made Christ their representative, their second Adam. As we're born the image of the earthly, we'll bear the image of the heavenly. The first man is of the earth, earthly. The second man's the Lord from heaven. All who are in Adam die. All who are in Christ live. Have to. Look at verse 44 of John 6. No man can come to me except my Father which sent me draw him, and I'll raise him up at the last day. It's written in the prophets, and they shall all. And they shall be all taught of God. And every man, universally, without exception, that hath heard and learned of the Father, he comes to me. Isn't that what that says? Every man. They shall all be taught of God. Other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them I must bring. And they shall hear my voice, and they shall be one fold. And do you know something? You still with me? That first Adam, everybody represented by him, and that's everybody, died. And that's unchangeable by human effort. Everybody given to Christ, represented by Christ, lived, and that's unchangeable. That's unchangeable. Much more, he said, Cecil, much more. Let me show you that. Turn, if you will, to Malachi 3. That's the last book in the Old Testament, Malachi, the very last book. What I'm saying is God doesn't change in his purposes or plans or his gifts or his grace in Malachi 3:6. Listen to this. I'm the Lord. Malachi 3:6, for I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, you sons of Jacob are not consumed. Now, we believers, we're changeable people. We know something about trials and troubles and temptations and all these. We are changeable people. Our faith's not always strong, is it? But he never changes toward us. Here's another one. Listen to Romans 11, verse 29. Romans 11, 29. Check this scripture here. Listen to it. Romans 11, 29. It says plainly, for the gifts... And you notice while I go and I was reading about this gift of grace and the gift of life, the gift of eternal life in Romans 5. In Romans 11, 29, for the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. What is repentance? Change. Without change. Whom he foreknew, he predestinated to be like Christ. Whom he predestinated to be like Christ, he justified. Whom he justified, he called. Whom he called, he glorified. No change. Now let me show you. I want you, everybody, turn to this verse right here. Philippians 1, verse 6. Philippians 1, verse 6. Philippians 1, 6. Well, everybody look at this carefully. I'm saying that what we have in Christ is universal to all in Christ, and it's unchangeable. It will not be changed by anything. God Almighty gave it, purposed it, and it can't be changed. Philippians 1:6, Paul says, writing to the church at Philippi, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it. What's that word perform mean? What's that in the margin of your Bible? Finish it. Finish it until the day of Jesus Christ. Salvation's of the Lord. It's of the Lord in its origination, before the foundation of the world. It's of the Lord in its execution. It pleased God to bruise him. It's of the Lord in its application. It pleased God to reveal Christ to you. It's of the Lord in its sustaining power. We're kept by the power of God through faith. And it's of the Lord in his ultimate perfection. He is able to raise our vile bodies. He's the author and finisher of our faith. If he began it, he'll finish it. It's God's work. Listen, I'm confident of this very thing. Look at that verse again. That he which hath begun it. Who began it? He did. It didn't start with you. It didn't start with a preacher. It started with God. He began this work. He did it. What kind of work is it? It's a good work. It's a good work. And anything, any good work has to be from God. There's no good works in us. It's a perfect work. Where did he do it? In us. He did it in us. Paul said, God revealed his Son in me. Too much, there's entirely too much emphasis and too much stress put on this outward show of religion. I'm so tired of hand-waving. I'm so tired of people using words they don't use ordinarily. Hallelujah, praise the Lord, whoop-de-doo. I'm just sick of it. Tired of it, the hand-waving, the preachers with their false smiles and phony happy all the time. Let's get down to reality. Salvation's a work in here. In here. And these fellows that are so-called preachers, they're con men, they're hucksters, they're making merchandise out of the souls of men, they're extravagant, luxurious, living, loving crooks is what they are. And they're good at this outward stuff, but they're sorry at this inward thing of walking with God and living for his glory and grace and mercy and truth. Those are the things that have been neglected. God, he began a work in you. In you. And that's the work of his grace. And listen, and he'll finish it. When? Until the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. When our Lord Jesus Christ is revealed in his ultimate eternal glory, then shall we be revealed in him, perfectly conformed to his image. You take the disciples, our Lord called them, but I tell you, it took several years for any kind of maturity to be demonstrated in these men, didn't it? It was any kind of spiritual maturity. The Apostle Peter that you meet over here writing those epistles, and the one you meet back here is that he loved Christ. But God was doing that work in him. God was. And he that began that work, and it's not perfected in a day. I hear people say, well, I got saved. Well, you've missed something. We have been saved, we're being saved, and our salvation now is nearer than when we believe. Repentance is not an isolated act. This thing's not all fixed up in one trip down the aisle to shake some preacher's hand, or one trip to an altar, or one trip to a baptismal pool. This is the work of God in you that is begun and completed in his own time for his glory. We have believed, we are believing, we shall believe. We have repented, we are repenting, we shall repent. That brings me to this question. When is a man justified? When is a man justified? When is he accepted? When is he actually brought into fellowship with God? When? Tell me when. I'll tell you, it's a fourfold thing. I'll tell you the first time and the first way in which all of God's people are justified, everyone who is in Christ and who will be in Christ. He's justified before the foundation of the world in the eternal purpose and covenant of a holy God. That's right. When were you in Christ? Chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world. Isn't that what Scripture says? Well, if I was in Christ then, I was justified. When did Christ die on the cross? Well, he died on the cross 2,000 years ago. The Bible says he's a lamb slain from the foundation of the world. How long has Christ been the crucified Savior? Ever since God Almighty determined to save a people. Is that right? God said to Jeremiah, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. Before you came out of your mother's womb, I sanctified you. God said, I've loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn you. What God does out here is because of what he purposed to do back then. God declares the end from the beginning. The God in whom Abraham believed, the God whom Abraham believed, was the God who declared things which are not, as though they already were. Isn't that what the Bible says? Abraham believed God who declared things which are not, as though they are. And there may be someone sitting here that belongs to Christ. You have not followed him or believed him or confessed him. But I'll tell you this. If you're his, he'll have you because he's already got you. One day you'll be in Christ because you're already in Christ. God put you there. The preacher didn't put you there, and you don't put yourself there. God put you there. So that's just so. We're justified when God Almighty chose us in Christ. Secondly, when is a man justified? When Christ died on the cross. Our Lord died as a substitute. He actually, the scripture says, took our sins in his body on the tree. Didn't it say by one offering he perfected forever them that are sanctified? So when he paid the debt, when was it paid? When he paid it. What debt did he pay? All the debt I owe. I'm justified in Christ. Somebody said, well, that's just not logical. I'm not trying to be logical. I'm trying to be truthful. You talking about man's logic or God's logic? Which one? You talking about God's truth or what men think? We're justified when Christ died. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was laid upon him. By his stripes, what? We are healed. All right, thirdly, when is a man justified? When he believes. When he believes. That's right. Turn to Romans 5 again. That same chapter of Romans, Romans 5. There's a whole lot in that chapter. We're going to look at it again tonight if I'll save some material. I know that's what you're thinking. What in the world is he going to preach tonight? He said it all this morning. There's more, much more. All right, Romans 5:1, listen. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's right, we're married to Christ. But our Lord doesn't have any unwilling bride. We're married to Christ from the foundation of the world. But there's a time when he says, will you be mine? And we say, I will. Thy people are made willing in the day of thy power. I believe God ordained Darcy and I to be married before this world began. But she didn't find it out till 46 years ago. And I said, will you marry me? She said, I will. And you'll say, I will. You'll be willing. In whom you trusted after you heard the word of truth. I don't believe a man's going to be saved listening to garbage. I don't believe he's going to be saved listening to preachers talk about Jesus is outside the door trying to get in. You won't let him in. I don't think I could trust that kind of Jesus anyway. What would he do after he got in? If he can't get in, what can he do when he gets in? If he can't handle my door, he sure can't handle anything else. I want one who's able to do all things, who cannot be defeated. I want one to reign in my Jericho who tears the walls down and conquers and comes in and establishes his throne and sits there. That's the kind of God I'm preaching. You believe in whom you trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom, after you believe, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit. But when will I be justified? Well, when will I be saved? It's not done yet. Not done yet. I have been saved. I'm being saved. Paul said, my salvation is nearer than when I believe. I've got to die. That's God's order. Got to die. Got to put this old body in the ground, this old flesh, old nature, old man, and then be raised from the grave and taken to glory, body and soul, and made like Christ. That's when I'll tell every one of you I'm justified. Is that clear? That's just so. Somebody says, that's deep. No, it ain't. It's just so. Nothing deep about it. It's just so. It's representation. It's all in Christ. One day, David said that, I'll be satisfied when I wake with his likeness. And that's when I'm saved. Totally, fully, completely. God has finished in the day of Jesus Christ what he began. And that's the end of our study, and that's the objective and the goal of our preaching, is that men might not trust an experience or turning over a new leaf, or like a man said to Doris over the phone the other day, he's asked for money two or three times, and I've given it to him, and he's supposed to be working for him, but he won't work. But so finally she just frustrated. She says, well, I've given you this, that, and the other, and you still haven't come and done the job you promised. Oh, he said, I'll do it now because I've given my life to Jesus at a certain church. Well, that's been several months ago. It hadn't worked. Something hadn't worked. But I wish Christ had come in and take over his life. See, that's the difference. If Christ comes in and takes over his life, then there'll be some consequences. There'd be some result. But as long as he keeps giving his heart and giving his life to Jesus, he's just going to stay messed up. That preacher's leading him wrong. I tell you, this thing's universal and impossible, unchangeable by human effort, but God can change it. And he that hath begun a good work in you, and we look at each other and look at ourselves and think, well, Lord, is there a good work actually begun? Yeah. It is, if you love him, believe him. And it'll be discouraging. He looks like he's taken a step forward and two backwards sometimes. But he's going to do it, because you're his. He's going to do it. Keep looking to him. Don't look anywhere else. Keep looking to him. All right, let's sing a song. 505.